I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
And welcome to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here with my man Dan Rose. Deion Harrison has the day off. And we are coming to you sort of live. So what is happening, Dan? How about Making a Murderer?
Making a Murderer, the most frustrating thing I've ever binged watched in the history of Netflix. Unfucking believable. I sat down and I had never even heard of it. And I was on Twitter one night. And I saw Ryan Loco posted that, he had started watching it and he was so pissed off about it. So I was like, oh, what is this? And I literally watched all 10 hours, like in 14 hours, I binge watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Me too. And I'm very disappointed in the justice system in Wisconsin.
As am I, dude. It's horrendous that that could happen in this day and age.
So, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, this man was convicted and sent to prison for 18 years.
Jesus.
For a rape he didn't commit. Police were calling the sheriff saying, hey, you know, you might have the wrong guy. And they're like, nah, we don't. We got the right guy. Like, they had none of the evidence pointed to this guy. They still locked him up because of a vendetta. They forced the chick who was assaulted to kind of say that was the description was of who they wanted it to be. The guy, the sheriff, drew a friggin' picture based on the mugshot.
Yeah.
And not.
It longer looked like the guy.
Yeah.
That's the part that gets me is the guy drew his picture based on an old mugshot, and the lady picked it out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even look like that anymore. His hair was completely different. She said he was short with brown eyes. This guy's got blue eyes. And not just blue, like the bluest eyes you've ever seen. And it's just like horrendous that he goes and does 18 years in prison, gets out, seemingly not holding a grudge really, just
Wait,
happy
he
to
got
be out.
Why did he get out? Because DNA evidence came back that proved him innocent.
Correct.
And it was the guy that the police said, hey, you know what, guys? You might have the wrong guy. And they went, nah, we got the right guy.
And not only did they not have the right guy, but by ignoring that fact, the guy that actually committed the crime, they said was able to assault and rape two additional women in the time. So it's they have that on their heads, too, not just the 18 years that the guy served in prison who was innocent. They have the assaults and the rapes of those additional women on their hands too.
Yeah. And then.
And then.
And then after 2 years, he's going to have a lawsuit come out against this police department for fucking him over for so long for $36 million. And before he can get a chance to slap him with it, they arrest him for murder. And it's like the most no evidence murder you've ever seen.
What? Imagine convicting somebody of a what you say is a brutal homicide involving stabbing, throat cutting, and shooting in the head.
Shackling,
yes, head and feet. And then imagine finding absolutely zero physical DNA evidence of blood or anything in the place where you said the crime took place. And then they said, well, it didn't happen in the bedroom like they originally thought. It happened in the garage. They used a jackhammer to pry up all this concrete from within the garage because there was a seam running through it, and they thought maybe the blood had sank in there and they could get a sample from there. And they did not. And then they said, well, it could have been cleaned with bleach. But then, lo and behold, they found DNA from the owner.
Don't forget, they went back. What was it, 8 months later? 8 weeks
yeah.
later or something shit like that?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we're going to check the garage one more time. Hey, look at this. It's a bullet.
Yeah, it's a bullet that just happened to be there the day after that fucking Lank guy was in there, that crooked bastard, and the same guy that found the keys to the woman's vehicle in this guy's bedroom, on the eighth search of the bedroom, that they were hit, they were like in plain sight, and nobody had seen them in the previous eight examinations, including the guy.
I like how they're like, well, it's because we moved the dresser on that one.
Yeah, right. But lo and behold, again, that Detective Lank, he was allowed into the property unsupervised, and then lo and behold, they find the key sitting there, and it's just like, there's blood DNA in the car.
He still has a job, by the way.
Yeah, which is horrendous. And then tell him about the blood in the car, and then the vial with the needle mark in the top of it, the evidence that was unsealed and
the evidence. The guy's blood was drawn from the rape case, and they put it in a vial. They sealed it up. They put the evidence tape on it and put it away. Lo and behold, they go and check during the
murder trial.
The murder trial, like, how did they get his blood? Because there was no way that his blood could have been in the car. So they're like, well, maybe someone get access to his blood from the first trial? Anyway, long story short, they went, they checked the blood from the first case, and there was a hole punctured in the top of the vial. like someone had put a syringe in. And
the seal just happened to be broken with no signature of any kind.
The seals were broken. No one checked it in or out or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Unbelievable. Like, he was so blatantly framed. And they're like, I even saw some of the people were like, well, they didn't show our side of the whole thing. But, dude, no blood anywhere. Okay? And then
yeah.
The ridiculous thing is that this guy, his nephew, this guy's dumb as a stump.
Oh, dumb as a box of garbage.
dumb as a box of rocks. Doesn't mean he's a bad person.
No.
He's just really stupid. Stupid how? Well, they brought him in to testify, kept putting words in his mouth, asked...
16-year-old kid with an IQ of 70.
Yeah. He asked if they were going to be done soon enough so he could get back to sixth period because they had a report due. Meanwhile, that was the last time he would ever see the light of day.
I do remember the one thing that was particularly heartbreaking to me.
Reminded me of Ryan.
He was...
he's going to miss WrestleMania.
That's it! Exactly right. He was all concerned when he called his mom from jail because he had to get out by the 10th when WrestleMania was on. And it's like, this kid is so completely clueless to the surroundings. And his narrative of how it happened... is impossible.
But why was he in jail in the first place, people may ask? Well, because he said, the cops kind of drilled it into him that he walked in on his uncle killing this woman, where there's no evidence, by the way.
Yeah.
And so he wound up getting arrested. But these guys talked this kid, they kind of talked him through
into a confession.
Into it. Like, you can leave once you tell us that you shot him.
Yeah, once you tell us that you're involved, we'll let you go. You're not going to be in any trouble. We can't help you unless you tell the truth.
So the kid was
like, they lead this guy down this, including the part where they're like, okay, now what happened to her head? And the kid doesn't have any idea, obviously. He's like, well, they hit her. He's like, well, no, something worse than that. What happened to her head? And the kid's like, they cut her hair. He's like, nope, it's worse than that.
Come on, but, they're like, we know.
We already know, so just tell us. And, something happened specifically to her head. And the guy's like, well, they cut her with a knife. Nope, that's not it. Quit lying to us. We know you know. It's like, how many other things could it be?
By the way, they were doing this interrogation of a 16-year-old without his mother present.
Yeah.
And they said that they asked if she wanted to be, and... she denied it.
Which she flatly says is simply not the case.
Right. Of course she would have been in there with him. So they violated his rights by interviewing a minor without his parent.
Yeah, and it was just, it's just shit show, the whole thing. It pisses me off so bad.
So after this whole entire mess of bullshit that this kid, spewed out to try to get out of there so he could see WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins did cash in, by the way.
They were like, all right, look, this kid is fucking retarded, and we can't use any of what he said in this case against Steve Avery. So we're gonna throw all this out.
And meanwhile, his own attorney, the kid's own attorney, was working with the prosecution to try to get him to confess so he would make a solid witness for the prosecution against his uncle. And that's his own attorney doing that.
Yeah. His court-appointed own attorney, though.
Yeah.
So they are like, all right, that testimony, what that kid said, nothing. You can't use it. It's terrible. It's bad. He's not smart. We gotta
take
that out.
He's not gonna stand up to cross-examination.
No. So we're throwing all that out. Anyway, so you're guilty, Mr. Avery, because we have no evidence, no nothing, but you're guilty. Although they said seven people, when they went into the room, seven people had him innocent.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then, of course, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm so fired up about this. The prosecutor's like, at the end of his closing statement, he's like, one man committed this crime.
Reminds me of that Mel Brooks scene in, like, History of the World where they're holding the 15 commandments.
Ten.
He's like, I give you these 15, 10 commandments.
For all to obey. But, yeah, they basically hang their case on the fact that this crime was committed by one man and one man only. And then, lo and behold, they convict the kid for it, too.
Yeah.
So then frustrating is it?
So then they try the kid on the same thing they threw out in another case for the same crime.
His stories conflict consistently.
And they find him guilty. So both guys are in prison.
For the rest of their life. Well, I guess the kid can get out in like 2048 or 2058 or some shit when he's 59 or 60 years old, but I don't know.
At which time fucking Rusev will probably still be in the WWE.
He's going to miss a lot of WrestleManias.
He's going to miss a lot of WrestleManias, Michael!
He never looked better, Michael.
We're going to see a flying moron, Michael!
Yeah, the kid is just so ill-equipped to handle the situation that he finds himself in. And the one person who's supposed to look out for him, his attorney, is actively rat-fucking him. And at the end of the day, he's just sent away. You know, it's like, well, you're obviously involved. You're guilty. You're fucked. You're going to prison for the next 16 years.
The people that are working, like the Innocence Project or whoever. Oh, no, they did the first one. Whoever doing the second, this new whatever it's called, project, they really seem like they got their shit together. And it's just the Court of Appeals, they won't try it. Like, they're like, nah.
Nah, we got it right the first time. What, no evidence? Ah, fuck it.
I mean,
the kid's got an IQ of the head of a lettuce? Ah, who cares?
But, this documentary is raising some eyebrows, and I think some important people are going to see this and be like, you know what? No.
This can't stand.
Right.
It's like the West Memphis 3, that whole situation.
Yeah.
You know, what was that show called, Paradise Lost?
I don't know.
That HBO documentary caused a lot of people to see the case, and those three kids had to sit in jail for 18 years also, I believe. And, you know, you can only hope that at some point something comes to light and, you know, A, that kid gets out of prison, B, Avery gets out of prison, and C, that Lank guy goes to prison and gets fucking rail fucked from breakfast to lunch to dinner every day for the rest of his life.
So you like setting people up, huh?
Yeah.
I fucking hate cops.
Congratulations. Here's your roommate. Hope you like cock meat sandwiches.
Ask Jared from Subway what he thought of the Black Forest ham this morning.
Oh, God. Not the Black Forest ham.
The Black Forest ham.
The foot long, ladies and gentlemen. The
Black Forest ham. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's how upsetting it is. We have an MMA/pro wrestling podcast, and all we're going to do is talk about this goddamn show. About these two lunkheads from Wisconsin.
Well, and you know, and the prosecutor, he got busted for sexting.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to me that it wasn't sexting a guy. Because
it's a nice little ancillary fact that, lo and behold, after it's all said and done, this guy's been sexting every woman that he's involved with. Yeah. And
the chicks he's defending, by the way.
Yeah, the chicks he's defending.
Against their boyfriends that have been beating the shit out of him.
Oh, I guess you like beaters, huh?
So he's like, yeah, I'll send you the pictures of my cock and balls, you know?
Come into my house, have a nice Chardonnay. I'm a successful lawyer.
But he's getting eviscerated on the internet right now.
Yeah, as well he should. What a scumbag. That guy, and it's just, it's so upsetting when you watch the document, I guess it's a miniseries, and they're like, saying that they had her placed in the trailer, which they've never been able to do. Nobody's ever been able to prove that she was in the trailer. And, he's like, well, no, we had that witness that did that. And the defense attorney's like, wait, no, we didn't. All he said was that he saw her walking towards the trailer. It's a 40-acre piece of property that does not place her in the trailer. It was just such a scumbaggy move by the prosecutor to just say it like, you know, it's a fact. We had him in there. And that's the other thing that baffles you. This is a 40-acre parcel of land with how many thousands of old cars on it?
And they found it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, these two old ladies.
Oh, there it is!
Cagney and fucking Lacey go into this place and locate the missing car in 10 minutes. It's like, come on.
And then they called and they're like, what was it, before they even had him in custody or something?
Yeah, before the thing was even reported as missing, the guy's calling the department, running a plate on it, and then they're like, well, did you have the plate at the time? He's like, no. It's like, well, wait a minute, then how did you
know? They totally busted this guy! Like, just yeah. Shit all over him, and it was like, oh, well, anyway. And then the next scene, he's fucking walking the nephew out of the prison.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so shitty.
Apparently the kid wasn't the only guy with an IQ of fucking 70 in that town. They found a whole jury of like-minded idiots, and it was retarded.
What's going on there in Wisconsin?
Yeah, what's wrong with Wisconsin? I always thought Wisconsin was like, I mean, shit. I thought that I was watching something in West Virginia or, you know.
Or Montana.
Hey, fuck you. Rural San Diego.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here.
No. People have nice weather there. They don't have to fucking create the drama that they have to in Wisconsin.
That's right.
But, dude, that whole ladies and gentlemen, you can't see what I'm seeing right now, but Evan's dog is basically accosting him right now.
It's all right.
It's the most disturbing image you can imagine.
He's just licking my face. You can hear him licking my lips. Like,
that is not a good sight to see, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, basically, the whole family of this guy too. Avery's parents, his cousins, his aunts, his uncles. It's just a bunch of goddamn idiots.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like these people are smart that got busted or even like angels by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. They're fuck ups too. It's just that their fuck ups are minor fuck ups, not these colossal monsters that they're creating.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to do some stupid shit when you're young. That guy already served 18 years for a crime he didn't commit. The fact that he's in prison again now with the evidence that they didn't have is mind boggling.
And the kid.
The kid is even worse. I feel sorry for the kid, but at the same time,
he literally did nothing.
He put himself there. He 100% put himself there.
Yeah, I mean, he did, but I mean, how do you, in one case, be like, no, he didn't put himself there because he's totally full of shit and not smart enough to know the difference.
Yeah.
And then the next case, they're like, he's a cold-blooded killer.
Even the stupid little shit, like the guy that had said that he saw the woman walking towards the trailer, and the other person that saw that guy on the highway to pinpoint their timeline, they were wrong. The lady bus driver was like, yeah, we didn't drop him off till fucking 3:30. And she drives that route every day and knows what time she drops him off.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we passed each other on the highway at 2:45. Evan, get your dog out.
So what do you want from me, man? Is this dog loving me? But you know, loving me is easy because you're beautiful. Do, do, do,
do. Hit the high note, Evan. Ah! Attaboy. But yeah, that's Making a Murder. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out on Netflix. I'm It's guaranteed, if you have an IQ over 75, it's guaranteed to piss you off.
Even if it's under 75, I think it'll piss you off.
At that point, it's just pure entertainment. You might as well be watching the circus.
It's just such a bummer, is what it is.
It really is. It's not a good situation at all.
So, I mean, you know, we're going to have Vinny on here, and Vinny's going to talk about MMA. So, This is kind of like the opposite of what we usually do.
Yeah, normally we talk a little MMA and UFC first, and then we have our guests on, and they don't talk MMA at all. Today's kind of that reverse. We're going to talk a little Making a Murderer. And, I don't know, WWE this week, Monday Night Raw, was not exactly compelling, except for Vince McMahon getting arrested at the beginning. Anything Vince McMahon does for me is gold. Just his walk. You know, the walk alone is worth the price of admission. And then for him to get arrested was funny. And
at the end of that was really bad. Happy New Year, pal! Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
How many times do you say Happy New Year?
Yeah, that was... What the fuck? WWE, I don't get you. I don't get you.
They need Stone Cold to just walk out and say, hey guys, this is getting kind of stupid. Let's rein this in a little bit. Say Happy New Year. Who wants to see me give this guy a stunner? Give me a hell yeah.
If you want me to give Vince McMahon a stunner for being a jackass, give me a hell yeah!
It's funny. I think it's hilarious that the crowd was still chanting Daniel Bryan, Yes Chance, and CM Punk. And you know that doesn't make Vinny very happy when he's out there with his brand new, you know, platinum-plated, made champion, and the fans are chanting for past champions.
Well, Vince shouldn't be doing stupid shit.
Agreed. It's NXT is better than WWE, in my opinion.
Oh, hell yeah.
WWE, man, I'm going to say it, and I never thought I'd say this, but even the New Day gimmick is starting to wear thin with me. It's still funny, but it's like, it's literally the same thing week in and week out.
Like, this is the best thing we have?
Yeah, that's...
three black dudes and a unicorn?
Yeah.
Sasha Banks with a terrible match?
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Dion said he blamed Becky. I'm like, I don't know if that was all Becky's fault.
Yeah, that was equal blame, I thought. But of course Dion's gonna blame Becky.
Just botched spots after, it was just bad, man.
It's not good at all. So I don't know what the hell to think of the Divas situation right now. They need to break up these little groups and just let people wrestle. But I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Bring Bayley up, do something.
Yeah, and what's wrong with poor Natty? How come she never gets in the ring anymore?
I'm wondering if they're just having her, like, mentor.
Yeah, she's the only one. Well, I shouldn't say the only one. That's not very fair. But she can still – she actually can wrestle a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, get her in there with Becky Lynch. Get her in there with Sasha Banks. Have Natty put those guys over. You know what I mean? But put them over in good matches. So you're not seeing Paige and Charlotte at a pay-per-view having a shit show of a match. You know, get someone in there that can actually elevate the brand a little bit.
I don't know if it's just crappy because they're like, all right, you need to put on a 10-minute or 20-minute match, so the matches are boring and shitty, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm so tired of Sheamus and Rusev and Ryback and all those guys. Fuck Ryback, man.
It's the big guy.
This is the year of the big guy. No, it's not. It's not the year of the big
guy. The year of the big guy. The big guy's stupid.
The big guy, it will never be the year of the big guy.
All right. Well, you want to get Vinny on?
Yeah, you know what? We don't have to go crazy with this. We talked about all I care about this week, making a murderer.
Yeah. So
that's all I care about.
See? All right. So. Let's
bring on Vinny. Say his last name.
I'm going to let Vinny do it.
That seems fair. We don't want to butcher his name.
I'll let you do it, Vinny! So, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Vinny M, and he will tell you his last name when we come back.
Escobar season has returned. It's
been a long time.
time coming. It's life or death for me, man. But you know, there's no turning back now. This is what makes me. This is what I am, Billy.
Let's go. You can hate me now,
QB,
but I won't stop now.
Real niggas,
cause I can't stop now.
Brave hearts,
you can hate me now.
Come on.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Crips and Cannabis Podcast. Evan Schoen here with my man Dan Rose, and on the air we have my man Vinny
Magalhães.
Thank you. So, some things never change, Vinny. You know, I mean,
yeah, I can never change, man. It's better than have you guys, like, you know, just saying my last name all messed up.
But everybody still kind of does that, don't they?
Everybody does, and that will never change.
But now, you know, there's another Draculino, right? Does he say his name the same way that you say yours?
Yeah, I do actually share the same name and last name. So sometimes it gets matched on Facebook, and not Facebook, but on Twitter. And then he has to be telling people that it's not, seems that people won't talk to you, it's usually near. especially, he usually does that when people are trying to, like, you know, talk shit to me. Then he just goes, hey, that's not, you're not saying shit, you're not talking shit to the right person. I'm not him, so.
Well, people still talk shit to you?
All the time, man.
Seriously?
These things never change. It's just like some things never change, this is one of them. But, you know.
What, I mean, what the hell do people gotta talk shit to you about, though?
I'll give you an example. Like, this week just happened, like, you know. It's not like I'm trying to, like, talk smack, really. Here's the thing. The light heavyweight division, like, World Series of Fighting, they have, like, you know, they don't have many guys signed. They have, like, 7-8 guys that are signed now. And coming off wins, like, in a good winning streak, it's like, there's me, and there's, like, Jake Hume. I think that's it. He's actually coming off 2 wins. Everybody else, especially, like, if you count, like, the bigger names, like, Thiago Silva, I don't think he's in it with the World Series anymore. I think he just got cut. And so there's Thiago Silva. There's Matt Hamill, who's coming off a loss. There's David Branch, who's a champion. So, like, you know, he just has to, like, because he's going to be fighting for the middleweight title first, so I don't know what the deal is with him. There's me with, like, off 3 wins, 2 wins over, like, 4 in the UFC fighters, and 1 over, like, an undefeated fighter then when I fought him. So, anyways, so basically, the guy with the bigger, like, winning streak, it's me and Branch. Branch being the champion. And the other guy would be Jake Hune. Anyways, so I go, like, the World Series posted this thing on Twitter. They just promote the next event. The next event's going to be called World Series of Fighting 27 Future Champions. And then the guy headlining the show, it's a guy who's just coming off a loss in my weight division. And I just go there and I just retweet, well, you guys can't change the name of the event because neither one of these guys are going to be getting near the belt. And, you know, up to the point, I didn't feel like I'm really talking shit. It's just the truth, you know. Like, one guy is a Russian guy who's never fought for the promotion, so it's not like, you know, people don't know who he is. He's going to have the first fight ever in the States, so people don't really know who the guy is. And the other one is, what's his name? Teddy Holder, who actually happened to knock out Thiago, and then he lost to Branch for the title. So, like, you know, the truth is, either one of these guys is going to be fighting for the title next. And then I post that, and then Holder's manager just comes up and starts, like, talking shit to me on Twitter. It's like, first off, like, you know, he should be putting himself, like, in his place. He's a manager. He's not a fighter. It's not his, you know, it's not his position to be, like, talking shit to somebody. And fine. So he comes up with that, and I got, like, a little argument. And then comes, like Holder's, like, whole fan base, which is, like, 30 guys. And I'm like, you know, like, I just wouldn't stop there. He's going back and forth with insults and all that. And then I'm just thinking, well, first of all, like, what he said wasn't even that bad. He was like, well, Holder would have dropped to us just as quick as UFC did. I was like, first of all, yeah, it sucks, man. I got dropped by the UFC. But here's the thing. That guy's my age. He's never even made it in the UFC. You know, that guy's, like, my age. Like, he, like, only fought guys with, like, losing record. Only. There's not even, like, well, there's, like, 2 guys that he fought with a winning record, which was Thiago Silva, who's, like, you know, felt like in the worst, like, stage of his career right now. Not long after he lost to Holder, he also lost to another guy, like, in a local show. And the other guy with the winning record that he fought was David Branch. So, like, one guy he beat, the other guy he lost to. So there's the only 2 guys that he ever fought with the, like, winning record. And it's like, this guy thinks he can really, like, easily beat me. It's like, I mean, you know, anything could happen. Dude, I lost to Anthony Perosh, and that guy sucks. But he happens. But, you know, but when it comes to odds, like, it's not like as easy as the guy think it would be, you know. It's just not like that. Unless, you know, get lucky, you know, shit could happen. But, like, realistically, it's not that easy. And the guy's talking all this shit anyways. Then I had to come up with, like, facts. And then I just pulled, like, the whole, like, the guy's, like, whole record, dude. Every single opponent, like, they're winning, like, you know, which would be the record combined. Dude, it's just ridiculous. The record combined for these guys is just ridiculous. All his opponents, again, all have losing records. A lot of them, he never fought a guy coming off a win. Most of the guys he fought are coming off losses. So, anyways, the guy just, like, fought scrubs. The guy just fought scrubs.
The two biggest wins of his career are Thiago Silva, who, like you said, is, you know, struggling, and then Sean Salmon, who I believe literally has lost 13 consecutive fights.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I brought up. Like, that's the only two guys that he, like, you know, that I had, a, like, UFC experience that he actually beat. And Sean Salmon actually was, like, as a matter of fact, I did the whole count on that one, too. Out of his last, like, 20 fights, he lost 17. Being like in a 12 fight losing streak, so it's like there's nothing to be bragging about on that one, you know. It's like nothing.
Yeah. Who's his manager?
He did fight four guys. He did fight four guys that already retired without winning a single fight. So four of his 11 fights were against guys who retired without winning a single fight. So it's like that's the guy you're like trying to talk shit. So I had to pull my record to and compare. I was like, yeah, I do have some losses, but in fact, I never even fought a guy with a losing record. Never fought ever. Ever. My very first fight was against a guy with, like, you know, six fights. Second fight against a guy with five fights. And it's like, never even fought a guy with losing record or guys making a debut. Like, ever. Actually, one fight. That was my third fight. The guy was having his debut, and like, that's it. You know? That was the only guy. Again, the guy retired, too. At least he retired with the win. He ended up with a 1-1 record. That was my third fight. And that's it. So, you cannot even compare that. I've never, like, you know, I fought scrubs in the beginning of my career. Yes, I did. But, like, it was not like him, like, handpicking, like, straight up scrubs. I'm gonna fight the cab driver, and I'm gonna get a win. That's how he was.
Who's his manager?
Some dude from the south. I don't know, dude. I have no idea. Like, it's Alan, whatever his name is. He doesn't even have like many fighters like his wrestling. It's like five guys, all like from his neighborhood, and you know, he thinks just because they're pretty good, like in the local show, they're like world class badasses, which is not, it's not true. But,
so do you think maybe?
Believe that's not true.
You think maybe he's doing it just because like. The thing to do these days is to call people out and, you know, beat Conor McGregor. Who, by the way, Conor McGregor is the GOAT, according to you, correct?
Yes, I do actually believe that could be the case, but here's the thing, that's the fighter's job. Like, you know, if that's gonna be like Dr. Smack, it's gonna be the, you know, it should be Teddy Holder, but like, he didn't do anything. His manager came up and said something, you know. And that's what kind of upset me, because if Teddy Holder says something, it's like, fuck, that's fine, dude. Just like, no, have your, just like, if you can find like any time, it's not a big deal. I would have mine fighting, they just decide to make the next matchup with somebody else. But I would have no problem at all fighting that guy. He looked like a freaking turtle off his back when he fought David Branch. He does have two submission losses. One of his submission losses is against a guy who's like 5-10. 5-10, yeah, you're not got it wrong. It didn't get that wrong. It's 5-10, it's not at 10-5. And he thinks he can just, like, easily beat me when he got submitted twice. Like, you know, one against a scrub. So it's like, anyways. If that's the whole thing is to hype something up, it should have been the fighter, not the manager. And that's what kind of pissed me off. So, like, for a whole day, I was in front of my, I was on my Twitter just, like, going back and forth with, like, his 30 family members.
You know what's funny is, like, I was like, I just wanted Vinny on the show because, Because Vinny's a clown. I didn't know any of this stuff had happened.
Yeah, dude, he was, yeah, of course nobody knew it like that. It wasn't something big. Like, they tried to make it big, like, you know, try to, like, start something. But Teddy Holder, like, you know, if it wasn't for that Chicago fight, people would never even know who he was.
You think?
And some people shouldn't know who he is.
I was going to say, like, I didn't even know about that, like, till way after. Like, I was like, damn, Thiago Silva lost? Like, it was one of those. Do you think they kind of, like, tried to keep it under wraps? Because, the guy, I mean, he's one of the most highest-ranked light heavyweights in the world, and, I mean, I guess he just got smashed, right?
Yeah, I think that was a thing, too, you know? Like, there's no whole lot of hype behind it. Even with World Series at first, here's what was happening. Like, you know, so trying to lost to that guy, like, you know, again, anything can happen in a fight. You cannot take the credit away from the guy. But my opinion as a fighter, the guy somehow got lucky. He got caught at first. He was able to recover, and then eventually he went there and knocked Thiago out. So fine, like, you know, it doesn't matter if he was lucky or not. He still won the fight. That's fine. That's giving credit. Even after that, Thiago was still a lot more marketable than Holder. So they still try to keep Thiago around and give him a chance to, like, you know, get a win somewhere else. You know, so he could still get back in the title picture. So the whole idea was have me. By the way, the whole idea for Walter was have me fighting Thiago, and that whoever won that fight would be fighting Branch for the belt. So, you know, Thiago was always the most marketable guy, like, in our division, like World Series. You know, he had some big fights in the UFC. You know, had like a fun style to watch. So everybody, I think, you know, Thiago's the shit. So he's just like promoting the guy. He lost. Let's not talk about it too much. Like, just go, like, let him go get a win, and, you know, and then he starts working around him again so he can get the title fight or whatever. And then they let Thiago go fight somewhere else, and he could be coming off a win, which would have justified his fight against me for the, you know, for the number one spot. And then he went there, and then he lost to another guy in a local show. So it's like, you know, I just don't think Thiago was, like, in a good, like, you know, stage of his career right now. I don't even think he should be fighting. He's like, you know, personal issues, the best thing would be to take time off and not fight at all. Because, you know, be giving up wins to guys that should never beat him, like, you know, when he's 100%, I don't think that's good. You know, just make somebody else's name for, like, no reason.
Yeah, and I mean, it still doesn't even really make Teddy Holder's name, because I watched the video where Thiago lost, and until you mentioned him, I couldn't have told. If someone asked me who Teddy Holder was, I would have had no idea that that's the guy who beat Thiago, and I watched the fight. I just never—he never really registered with me. He never stuck in my mind at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like, you know, it was an impressive result, of course. Like, you know, this guy from out of nowhere just came into the fight like last minute, and then he beat Thiago Silva, who was like at one point one of the best light heavyweight in the world. So it is an impressive result, but then you look at the fight, there's nothing like so impressive, you know. The guy also has never stand out. Like, besides that fight, he comes and gets smashed, like, under 2 minutes by David Branch. So, like, you know, that was it. That was the one fight, dude.
Yep.
So, that's why I think his manager should have slowed down. Like, dude, it's not like he's been fighting all these badasses and, like, you know, goes there and beats Thiago. So, he could have just said, well, these guys are at stake. Well, it's not the case. He went there, beat Thiago. He's, like, you know, way out of his old self. And then, comes back and loses to Branch, which, like, you know, Branch is legit, but, like, he's, like, in a world-class, like, comparison. He's not at the same level as Thiago, like, as far as Thiago's, like, you know, the love that Thiago has fought. So, you know, that says a lot about, like, Holder's level, you know, what it's at. He's a local guy. He's a local show guy. He's not, like, in a world-class fighter, as his manager think he is.
So, are you guys set to fight, then?
No, he's fighting another dude from Russia, which is, like, so, like, here's the thing. I even, like, you know, after this whole thing started, I was like, you know, let me just, like, check these guys out. So, I tried to pull some of their fights and, you know, record to who they fought. It came down that the Russian guy is pretty much like a Russian version of Teddy Holder. Just fought scrubs, guys with losing records, picked up some guys from the crowd to fight with no fight experience before. Dude, it's just like that. So, like, this one, I have no idea who's going to win. But either way, it sounds like, I'm not saying that's true, because, you know, there's nothing signed, there's no promise, so there's nothing. But, like, out of some conversation that I had with, like, World Series, there's a possibility that I'm going to be fighting the winner of this fight, like, in the near future. So, like, I have no idea. But either way, in this fight, I don't have, like, a favorite to win. But I would already have, like, Teddy Holder winning, just because, like, you know, he managed to talk so much. And that would be cool for me to fight this guy, just so, like, you know, I could prove that he's not as good as his manager than he is. But, you know, there's nothing signed.
Interesting.
Well, I it's hard for me to follow MMA these days, despite having a radio show.
Dude, I don't follow shit anymore either. Like, you know, there are two cards that I actually watched and I actually bought, like, which was the Ronda Rousey card and the McGregor card. Those are the only two that I bought, that I really watched the whole card, like recently, for the last year. That's not even, like, you know, for the last couple of months. No, for the last year, those are the only two cards that I stopped, like, sat down and watched the whole, like, same card. I'm not into, like, the whole, like, you know, watching fights. And even if I was to watch fights, I would have to watch with, like, my, like, on mute. Because I can't stand Joe Rogan and Goldberg like talking anymore, dude. He's just like fucking depressed.
You know, I thought you were buddies with Joe.
It's different, man. I like Joe as a person. It's totally different. I'm not a big fan of his, like, you know, wannabe expert thing, you know. Like, he's the thing. He trains and everything. He does train. He trains kickboxing and hits bad. He cannot spar. I don't know if you're watching these videos, but when he spars, he looks like a girl. And he's a legit jiu-jitsu black belt, which he actually has, just like me, has two black belts in Brazilian jiu-jitsu with him, and he has a Fan Planet jiu-jitsu black belt on Daddy Bravo. So he's a legit, like, he trains. He's not one guy without experience. But when it comes down to, like, breakdown technique and breakdown details in fights, sometimes he makes some mistakes that people that actually know the game, they just fuck, shake their heads like, dude, you're just saying something dumb. So that's why I don't watch it anymore, you know. I'll give an example. When there was, like, Damian Maia and Gunnar Nelson. They fought, and there's this whole hype, like, how this is like a grappling dream match. How like Gunnar Nelson and Damian Maia like shoot two of the like the best grapplers in the world, blah blah blah. And I'm just like, well, if you're talking about Damian, that's true. Damian is like probably the best like pure jiu-jitsu guy in MMA right now, like in his weight class. Cause, like, you know, they're like many other guys. Aoki's pretty good, Verdun's pretty good, Jacare's pretty good. But you know, in his weight class, definitely Damian might be probably the best guy. And then it comes down to comparing like. Say that Gunnar Nelson is like one of the best grapplers in the world because he has one win. It's not based on like championships. It's based on one win over Jeff Monson. And I was like, well, I get it. Jeff Monson, at one point, he was like a two-time ACC world champion, but that was like 15 years ago, dude. Nowadays, Jeff Monson is like taking dives for like up for like $20,000. Nowadays, Jeff Monson is going to Russia to compete in grappling events and losing to purple belts. They have never won anything. So it's like, well, you cannot be selling to people like bullshit. And that's what I feel like Joe does sometimes, you know. He'd say something like, oh, these guys are world-class grappler. These guys are like a Muay Thai world champion. You know how he goes in Muay Thai? They have like a 30, 40, 50 like world championships. Which one's legit one, though? Which one they really have the best, like, you know, strikers in the world? People don't know. So it's like, to be selling that stuff to the public, especially for people that don't know, I think it's like, it's stupid, you know. So I would just prefer just to watch fights. If I was to watch fights, just to watch fights on mute and not have to like hear anything that they're saying.
I agree 100%. I watch every single UFC pay-per-view on mute just because like what you said. But then the other things that Joe does that just bother the hell out of me is anytime somebody gets hit, he just yells, oh, at the top of his lungs. And
I know, right?
Yeah, he always plays doctor. Anytime someone's got like a swollen eye, he's like, oh, that's probably a broken orbital. Or if somebody takes a low kick and limps, he's like, oh, he could probably have torn his meniscus there. It's just like, you're not a doctor. Just watch the fight.
Exactly.
It happens.
Exactly, dude.
Well, I mean,
even worse. So here's the thing. I'm fighting, so I don't know. I have no idea what the fuck's going on, right? So it was my fight. I think it was my fight against Eagle Pacraia. It was exactly that one because that's the one I want. And then, you know, it goes to the second round, fine. Like, you know, I'm in the middle of the fight, so I have no idea that, you know, there's all this conversation. Then I get home, and then I watch the fight. And, you know, like, the commentator was just so fucking stupid. And then Joe's like, oh, Vinny's fired. Like, you know, the reason why, like, he let Eagle get up, like, from his start is because he's tired. And then he starts the second round, Vinny's tired. It's like, dude. And I watched the fight. I was like, dude, I wasn't even fucking tired. Is that because I'm breathing my mouth open? It's like, dude, I don't fucking give you a septum. I can't fucking breathe, like, through my nose. It's like, you know, if you say that I'm tired because of that, I'm fucking tired, like, 1 second in the fight. It's not even, like, it doesn't have to be 2 minutes for me to have my mouth open. It's like 1 second in, 10 seconds in. And my mouth is open, and I was like, dude, just fucking stop, like, saying that kind of shit. And then, here's the problem. It's not a problem, like, between me and him. It's more like, everything he said, people that don't know shit, they're going to be repeating. So now, I become the guy with no fucking cardio. Because, like, my mouth's open, like, you know. It's just how it is. So, then I see people, like, on the internet, talking about it. Oh, he has no cardio, he has to work in his cardio. I said, fuck, dude, I went just, like, 4 rounds, but I just fought 4 rounds against Brills. Not even fucking tired. Like, same energy from, like, first to last round. I had, like, a fight in Russia. I had a fucking, like, second faction, dude. And I fought 3 fucking rounds. And I still finished the guy. So it's like, you know, for a guy that has no cardio, like, fuck, I'm being pretty decent, you know. It's not even like I'm winning all my fights with 1 minute in the first round. Like, you know, most of my fights, they go second, third round. And it's like, if I had no cardio, dude, I would be fucking guessing out in 5 minutes, 2 minutes. So it's like, when people say that kind of stuff, and that's what he passes the public. and people start to repeat. So that's why I kind of pissed me off a little bit, you know, about him.
Yeah,
but overall, like, you know, person, he's a good person, like, and don't get me wrong, but just like the whole like Paul McKay thing, I would support his retirement as he would be talking about.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, man, because, yeah, I like Joe as a comedian. I like him as a person. He's always been super cool. But, yeah, the commentating, I mean, my gripe is he gets very – anybody that's 10th Planet related, the bias that he shows during the fight is just ridiculous. And, I mean, I feel like I'm watching two different fights – or I'm watching a different fight than he is, and I'm just like, and you know, obviously Joe's not going to sway the judges because they don't listen to him. But I mean, I'm under the kind of the old school impression that, you know, it's okay to shut the fuck up once in a while, even if you're an announcer. You don't have to, you know, it's like he how do I explain it? He says the way somebody is thinking, like. He's not thinking about the next move. He's thinking 2, 3, 4, 5 moves down the line, you know. And okay, fine, that's all well and good, but Joe is verbalizing that, like
exactly,
like yeah. Here he could, you know. I mean, it's a fight. It's a split second thing. It's like, you know, he's gonna put his hand on his knee here, you know, or you know what he could do here, Mike, is like, oh, he's out, you know, and that happens every single time because. You know, the people that are watching the fights, for the most part, aren't, you know, people that know what's happening, like, you know, any of us. It's, and I always say this, it's my neighbor, you know, guys that don't know shit. It's the guys that, they don't really know Conor McGregor's last name, they can't pronounce Ronda Rousey's last name. Those are the people that are huge UFC fans, are the ones that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's who buys the pay-per-views. You know, none of us buy pay-per-views. Like, Vinny, you said you did, and that's cool. You know, I can respect that. But I haven't bought one since Anderson Silva fucked around with Damian Maia or Talis Ladies or one of the shitty fights he had.
They're the fucking same fight.
aside from that, the people that order it, they don't know what the fuck they're watching unless somebody's punching someone in the face. So I think that it bugs all of us because we know what's happening. We know what could potentially happen. We know what is, you know, more than likely going to happen. But it's like he has to kind of recycle the same lines every single time that he commentates. It's just I think maybe he gets too excited or something because Brian Stann is great. Like, I can listen to him
Stan
all day.
Yeah, Stann and Anik are awesome.
You know, to be honest, Brian is good. I think the best one was Frank Mir. Of course, Frank Mir has favorites. Like, dude, he used to have a boner for
Miguel Torres.
Miguel Torres. It was just ridiculous. But besides that, I would always think like his calling kid was like intelligent. You know, like always like the technical side of it was good. The way he like speaks pretty good. Stan, like, he's like, there's some things that he says that kind of like bothers me a little bit. But like, he's overall, he's good. Definitely, definitely better than Rogan. The other guy that I would put like in the top three would be lightweight and fought for every single title possible.
Kenny Florian.
Florian, yeah, dude. So Florian is actually pretty good too.
I was impressed with Dominic Cruz.
He's not bad. Like, his voice is annoying, but he's not bad completely.
Yes.
My wife cannot stand his voice. Is he being serious when he's just like talking like a girl like Florida, like just to make fun of somebody?
Yeah, I don't want to know what's going on at Vinny's house, man. There's some rage happening here.
It is the season for it.
What's that?
I said it is the season for rage.
I feel that's my option. I feel like I'm literally like, I need like a anger management. It's like, you know, I'm not fighting now, so I'm like pretty angry. I need like to start training hard so that way I don't have like time to get angry.
Yeah, I know that's a rough go for fighters when they don't have anything going on and they're just like, man, I'm gonna fuck something, kill something, or punch something, like one of the three.
You know, the good thing is, like, you know, I don't drink, I don't do like anything, like I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do anything like that. But I also go out with friends, so like my whole thing, like my rage is gonna be like most of the time like over the internet. So, like, I'm gonna be like posting dumb stuff like on Facebook. I'm gonna be like talking shit to everybody on Twitter, and that's pretty much it.
You've been relatively quiet lately on Twitter. You've been very good, I'd say.
It's different though, man. Like, you know, I just feel like I think it's a different situation though. Like, I've been pretty quiet. Even like in this whole like argument that I had, I try not to like overdo it. I would like always be as far as I can, not talking too much shit. But it's different though. It's a different organization too. You know, I don't feel like talking crap like in World Series is gonna take me anywhere, you know, further. It's more like, well, talking shit or without talking shit, I feel like I'm close to be fighting for the title. And then if I fight for the title, there's not the same, like, it is important, don't get me wrong, like, you know, it's about promotion, but it's not the same as getting, like, near a top 10, like, in the UFC. If you're top 10 in the UFC, like, people are going to talk about you, like, a lot more. And there's a lot more, like, negatives and a lot more positives, too. So it's more like, well, I can stay quiet and I should get what I want. I don't need to be talking about shit. Like, when I went to fight Phil Davis, like, you know, in the UFC, dude, I had to talk shit. The guy was a top, he was, like, ranked top number 8. In my mind, I was like, well, if I beat this guy, I'm the one, like, you know, going to number 8, which, like, that could have translated in the future to make more money. So it's different, you know. I think, feel like, there's no need for me to be talking shit. And, like, and if people know, like, people that know me, they know that, you know, I'm sarcastic, like, I joke around a lot, but I'm not that big of a douchebag, you know, as I make myself sound, like, when I'm, like, posting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I understand. I mean, you had to, that's what you had to do to get a fight, is you had to kind of get in Phil's ear, you know? I mean, and I know you have.
And most of the time, you're not doing that for people that know you. It's like, you know, people that know you, they know you, they're going to support you no matter what. Usually you're doing that for people that don't know you. So, like, for them, I don't even mind being portrayed as a douchebag. Just like, you know, I don't know them anyway. So they don't know me, I don't know them. So, like, all I want to do is make sure that they're going to be watching, they're going to fight the bullshit, and they care about somehow. Like, even if it is to watch me lose. But, usually do these things just not the people they are with you, you know, so that's why sometimes you have to just pretend.
Do you kind of wish that, like, the money was so good in MMA that you wouldn't have to do this stuff, or that no one would have to do this stuff, and, you know, basically everybody could just fight?
I don't know, yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, it comes the whole thing, like, yes, it's not just the money. It is the mindset. You know what? It's like the money, actually, like, you have to be somehow entertaining, not just a great fighter or a good fighter, whatever, to be making money. You also have to talk. Like, that, it's not just in MMA, like, that's like in boxing, it's been this way. Like, all like, especially like, combat sports, like, it's always been this way. The guy who talks the most, of course, they have to back it up too. Are the guys that make more money? Are the guys that people care, you know, care about the most? But, yeah, but just like I said, like, you know, being world series, I don't feel the need to be like, fuck shit. I did a little bit this time just because, like, I want to make sure that I will be fighting for the title next. That's the only thing I want to make sure. But it's not like there's no need to be pushing too hard to that. You know, it's not like I'm there, like, a bunch of other guys, like, in line, like, in front of me or with me for me to be fighting for the title. So, you know, I can be like myself a little bit now. It feels different. If it was like a division with like 30, 40 guys, maybe it would be, I have to be like, you know, all kind of shit online.
You had to stick out. Yeah. I mean, that's understandable, but, you know, the Damian Maia fight, Damian Maia and Gunnar Nelson is kind of the same way I look at, like, I want to see you and David Branch fight. I don't want to see you two standing up. I want to see immediately both of you drop to your backs. You know, point to your crotch like Fabricio Werdum would do, and, you know, and get to business. Like, that's what I want to see in MMA, is guys that are legit on the ground, you know? A Renzo Gracie black belt and you, a friggin' Abu Dhabi champion, you know? I mean, that's what I want to see.
For sure. No, I know, I get the point. And that's like, I think that's the whole thing. I think that's how race happens too. The problem is, I think that the whole thing, like, how they try to, like, work in this title situation, it's like around, like, a Branch's schedule. Right now, he's booked his fight for middleweight, which means that the light heavyweight title is going to be, like, he's not going to be fighting anytime soon for that one, especially if he gets suspension or if he gets an injury. We could be talking about him fighting in July or so, even not later, it depends if he gets injured. So that's why, like, somehow I'm trying to, like, keep some hype about, like, you know, the whole situation, but, like, at the same time, it depends a lot on his schedule, like, you know, if he's not going to get injured in the next fight, if the next fight goes through or not. So
that's kind of the whole, that's the bummer of guys holding belts concurrently, is that guys that want to fight can't get a crack at him because, God forbid. I mean, imagine if Jose Aldo had the light, the featherweight title and the lightweight title at the same time, and he had to defend both, and that guy gets injured every 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah, that would have been a huge problem.
If there would be like an interim title holder, the title holder, then there'd be like an interim title holder at lightweight and the title holder, and then someone's challenging the interim title holder to get to the title holder, and you might not get him because he gets injured all the time. And if he's not injured and you finally fight him, who knows how long it could possibly be. So, I mean, fuck. They need to contractually kind of – it's not like people are clearing out divisions in World Series of Fighting. You know what I mean? No one's just blasted through everybody to where they're like, okay – I can carry both of these belts at the same time. It's
For sure. Especially like in a situation, you know, like I think they should have a right, give him the option, like not just option, but just kind of like put him like, you know, and say like, what do you want to do? Which one do you want to give up? Like, in my opinion, he should give up one of the titles, just because like first of all, like he, as soon as like he got the light heavyweight belt, he also had a surgery, so now he's delaying like both titles. Which means that one of them is going to be like wait for even later. So they could be talking about him not fighting, like, again, not fighting until July, which last time that he fought for light heavyweight was September. So that's like, dude, it's almost a whole year, you know?
Yeah. If you win a title, like, I think if you win a title and then you want to go to another division and fight for that title, you should have to vacate your current title.
Hell yeah.
Having the same guy hold multiple titles in multiple weight classes, all that does is hijack the title in one of the weight classes and make it impossible to have timely defenses. And that kind of goes against as a promotion, what you want. You want to have title fights to get fans to have people watch your product. So.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, yeah, I don't know what's going on yet. Like, I'm not even booked to fight, so that's even worse. We get all these guys already, like, fighting, and me is just like, last fight was in October, so.
Now, didn't you? You got Ollie. Ollie's your manager now. You said I just saw that on Twitter again. I'm just
Ollie's my manager now. He's my manager now. So I'm sure, you know, like he, since he was part of the promotion, he can make something happen. But he cannot be pulling people from fights, and that's a problem, you know. And having these guys already booked, it leaves me literally with one option, which would be to fight Jack Hughes, who just fought last month. Not last month, he fought like 2 weeks ago. So that's literally the only option left as far as guys that are in the roster, you know. They could just sort of bring somebody in, but I don't think they would want to do that as far as like, you know, let's see if these guys are ready to fight for the title. If they do that kind of like a, let's say like a number one contendership fight, it has to be against somebody that's in the promotion already. So, I don't know, man. It's literally, like, I have no idea what's going on right now. I talk to Ray, like, you know, every other, like, week. But I'm tired of being asking, like, when I'm fighting. It's one of those things, like, you know, I don't want to be annoying. Especially with Ray being my friend. Ray's a friend of mine, too. It's not just, like, you know, I want to deal with Ray. It's not just, like, the promoter-fighter, like, relationship. It's, like, Ray's a friend of mine. So, it's, like, even though you have truck business, I try not to be annoying because I don't want to be annoying to a friend. And especially when one time that he thought, like, once I leave, stop being the, you know, work with World Series, Ray just had taxi duty and I'm like working double, you know. I thought it's going to be like off on holidays. I'm going to have to work because now, like, I'm doing everything by myself. So, you know, I don't want to be that guy that's giving extra work, especially like with him being a friend of mine. So,
does he train at the Syndicate? Does he train there too?
Yeah, I do train at Syndicate, but, like, you know, every once in a while I just hop in and train at Extreme Couture too, so.
Okay.
Pretty much Vegas, man. We do have a team, but, like, we have teams here in Vegas. But, let's say if, like, there's no big guys for me to train at Syndicate this week, likely I'm going to go to Couture, and there's no issue with that, you know. There's no issue, like, from my team side, and nobody, like, at Extreme Couture is going to be upset if I just go for the week. So it's pretty open here. Like, Vegas is pretty chill as far as, like, training goes.
Has anyone ever, back to kind of the issue of talking shit on the internet, has anyone ever talked shit to you when you said something about Weidman, like not critical or anything like that, but giving an analysis, I guess, of something Weidman had done? And did someone ever come at you like, whatever, you don't know anything about Weidman, blah, 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 and then you had to be like, yo. Like, has that kind of shit ever happened? Because that's got to be the worst thing when you're a troll getting put in your place because you're a stupid troll?
No, I actually, it never happened. I think a lot of people know about, like, not, I would say, like, a lot of people, but, like, there are people that know about the match and all that, but it never actually happened, like, bottom. Like, there are, like, other situations, you know, like, more jiu-jitsu guys, like, newer guys, like, you know, that just start training. And there's that Bushesha guy who's, like, you know, he's probably, like, one of the best, if not the best grappler in the world right now. And then people are like, oh, Bushesha is so good. Vinny would never beat Bushesha. And those are guys I started training, like, 2-3 months ago. And then I had to pull, like, you know, my video of me submitting Bushesha. And then people are like, oh, fuck, that happened. But things like that. Yeah, was actually against Weidman himself. No, it never happened. But, you know, it has happened with, like, 2 other guys, about other guys.
That was just the most ridiculous thing ever. That was when I was like, yo, I know this guy. I know Vinny. He thinks Britney Sky's hot. I tried to make that shit happen. Didn't work. And he got married. Had babies. But there was a bit there where it was like...
And I know it's funny, dude. Bruce Buffer was the announcer for the matches, like, in ATC. And then on that video, like, actually you can hear him saying, oh, yesterday you went for a flying armbar. That was crazy. And, like, a second later, I did my second flying armbar, which was the one against Weidman. Literally, like, as soon as I had just, like, finished what he was saying, I just, like, hit the flying armbar, like, a second later. So it's actually pretty funny. You gotta like, watch the video, like, with the sound, like, turned up, so you can hear me saying, like, oh, you did a flying armbar yesterday. And then, boom, like, a second, I just did another one.
Dude, that's so gangster, though. I mean, one after the other. Pete Epano and then Weidman, like, god damn, Vinny.
Yeah, I mean, you know why? Like, both from... against both guys. First of all, like, Weidman, like, I mean, I didn't know anything about him until HCC. And I think even, like, professional fights, he didn't have many fights. I think he had, like, 2 fights or something like that. But, you know, in the tournament, everybody's talking about how the guy won, like, the American tryouts and, like, how he's a badass, blah, blah, blah. And as a wrestler, it's like, dude, you know, if there's one thing, like, in my grappling game that I don't try, that I don't try hard, it's, like, wrestling. So it's like, dude, I'm not gonna fucking take this guy down. But I have to go to the ground somehow, so I pulled guard at first, and then I swept him. Fine. Then he stand back up. Now I don't know if he again. I'm like, fuck, dude, what's gonna happen? He's not gonna be falling to that thing again. So I had to go there and get the flying armbar. And the same thing happened to Paddy Pano. Paddy Pano was, like, at one point, #1, like, jiu-jitsu guy in the world. Like, you know, he won a Gil Worlds, like, 2 times in a row, like, his weight division absolute. He was an ATC champion. And up to that point, I was like, you know, I had, like, 1 major title as a black belt, which was the Worlds in Ogi. Those were my major titles. The other times, like, you know, I had, like, in the lower belts or, you know, some, like, not major titles like, as a black belt. And I'm just thinking, dude, there's nothing I can do to Paddy Pano. The guy's, like, you know, he's a badass. But I was like, there's one thing that I can do he's not going to expect because, like, nobody else is going to do that. A guy with my credentials compared to his would never try that kind of stuff, like, against him. And then I had, like, literally, like, 20 seconds to think about it and do it. And that's how I got it. Because, again, I just felt like I just saw myself with no other, like, way to beat him by flying iron bar. Just, like, I was like, I'm not good enough. Like, there's no way that I'm going to be beating Pat Conner with, like, you know, a sweep or a regular iron bar with a takedown. The guy's, like, he knows everything. And that's why I had to go for the flying iron bar. Because that one, I thought he wouldn't be expecting.
Well, you know what's funny is that after he got Weidman, he looked like he was like, damn. Like, damn. That damn. Pay DePano looked like he was like, motherfucking God, mother Vinny. You know, he looked pissed. That's
exactly how it was, dude. It was like, he was embarrassed after. Like, literally, he was embarrassed after that one. Like, fuck. I can't believe that this guy flying on board. It doesn't happen. Like, to be honest, it doesn't happen much, like, you know, at a high level. I don't think it's because the guys are good enough. They know, they see it coming, they can defend it. It's more like, people don't even try out of, like, they don't believe that it can make it happen and all. And that's, I think that was the big difference. I believe that I could have made it happen and it luckily happened.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was one of the more bananas things that I've ever seen. And have you ever even thought, man, I'm going to try this in a fight in MMA? Like, or are you just like, no, if I do that, I'm going to just, it's like Weidman throwing a fucking spinning back kick on Luke Rockhold when he's winning a round.
Dude, I know I did. I've actually, like, the one that I said that I went against the guy with, no, it was not. It was the second guy that I fought. When I fought in Mexico, I finished by flying armbar. It was like 15 seconds in.
Wow.
So yeah, but you know, then again, like, I knew the guy didn't know anything. He was a boxer, and you know how it is. Like, you know, in Mexico, if you're a boxer, if you're a good boxer, you're being boxing. You're not being MMA. If you're a boxer in Mexico that's fighting MMA, it's because you suck. No, it's true. It's true. Dude. Like, it's, I'm not even like talking shit. It's just the truth. Like, you know, those guys, they love boxing. So if they can't actually stick with it, they stay and they're gonna try to make it a career. And when they claim to be boxers and they're doing MMA, it's because they think, well, my hands are good. These guys all like have like, you know, horrible boxing, so I can beat them on my feet. That's how they think. And they don't train anything else. They at that time, they didn't have like jiu-jitsu schools in Mexico. They didn't have like, you know, this whole like cross training thing that you have nowadays. And so all I had to do was just to walk, like just pretty much go up to the guy, pull guard, and go for the armbar right away. It was literally just like that. I didn't even throw a punch. It was just like, rushed in, clinch, pull guard. And that's how I got down one. That was the first. And I even attempted one on top. That was my second fight, I think. Yeah, it was the second fight. So like before the fight against the guy Jules Boucher, I don't know if you guys remember. Yeah. He was on Nogueira's team. Anyway, so there was this whole thing, like, you know, Junior Brownie was like, hey, man, like, I'll give you, like, whatever, $100 if you catch Jules, like, if you finish by a flat arm part. And then, you know, at that time, dude, you know, you remember, you were around, like, an intermediate, but I wouldn't spar. I wouldn't do shit. All I was doing was just, like, jiu-jitsu. So I had, like, confidence that my jiu-jitsu was better than everybody else, like, you know, on the show. That's for sure. Because, like, all I was doing was jiu-jitsu, and at that time, I was competing jiu-jitsu at the highest level. So, like, my jiu-jitsu was good enough where I could just, like, if I was able to take it to the ground, I would have finished, like, everyone in the house. And then, so Junior says, I was like, yeah, I'll fucking do it. Like, and if you're going to pay me $100 to do a fine armbar. So I did try to do a fine armbar on Jules during the fight, but then I ended up, like, on my back, and then I slapped him right away. So it was not like I wasn't able to finish the fine armbar, but I can't. And that was the second time and the last one too. Because, you know, nowadays I feel like I have more options. I don't need to be doing like that kind of dumb stuff. But I don't need to try again. I wouldn't have to be fighting like really like low caliber guys for me to be trying that kind of stuff. It's not easy now. Like you know, when you fight guys who are a little bit better, it's not something that you used to do. No matter how good you are, like, you know, you can be the best YouTube guy in the world. It's just not. It's not that easy.
Good luck finding a low-level guy at this point of your career.
Well, you know, you can always excite the fake like top-level guys. You know, those guys with the great records that just fought scrubs. There's two of those out there. So,
hey, before we let you go, tell me why Conor McGregor's the GOAT.
Because he is, dude. Nobody. I mean, like, there's nobody in the UFC that goes from. I wouldn't say light heavyweight, but this guy's like, you know, we might be like too big for him. But, like, light heavyweight and up, he probably wouldn't beat anybody. But middleweight and down, dude, there's no way nobody can beat that guy. Nobody. He's just skills, you know?
What?
Dude, he's just skills. Dude, skills beat power.
Wow.
Just like he said. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
That, I'm baffled by that. That's...
No, that's what I'm fucking around. There's no way. Like, I mean, he's great. I think he's, like... He's going to be dominating his division, and I believe that. I said that before the fight against Aldo. Like, you know what's going to be the difference in this fight? His, like, precision. I said that. Now it's being serious. But Aldo is, like, he's really technical. He's really good. He is. But he's not as precise as Conor. And, like, that could, the rematch could have just happened. Not exactly the same way. I think, like, 13 seconds fight, it's almost like, you know, you have to be good to be throwing, like, and landing a good punch. But when talking about knocking somebody out in 13 seconds, like, there's some, like, luck involved. You know, it's just... This doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
But I think that he could still beat Aldo, like, in a rematch. And just for the fact that his technique is just a little more, like, you know, it's crispy. He's just, like, he's precise. Like, you know, when he throws those spinning kicks, he lands most, like, in the majority of the time he lands those kicks. When he throws a punch, most of the time he lands. Even if it's not, like, a power punch, he's still landing. He's still scoring. So I don't think there's guys in his division that can match that. But a lightweight, that it changes everything. Let's say in a possible fight against Rafael Dos Anjos, like I don't think he gets to Dos Anjos, because Dos Anjos doesn't need to actually strike with them. You know, doesn't need to stay like on his feet, and his wrestling is good and powerful enough to take McGregor down. And the fact that he's strong, he's a legit lightweight. He's going to be able to hold him down. And not just that, Rafael's a legit black belt too. Not a legit black belt only. He's a high level black belt that can use his jiu-jitsu in a fight. So I think a fight against Rafael would be like a tough one for him. So yeah, lightweight enough, like there's no way. I'm thinking there's like, you know, there are guys that you can beat, but like to be a dominant guy and be a champion, that's a totally different story. But at featherweight, man, you know, maybe Frank Edgar could have been a good fight. But again, you would have to have a first, you know, be talking about it first. But I don't know, man. There's like, I think it's too good for the guys in this division right now. Like the whole thing that people say, well, but you know, if what's his name, the guy who just fought before he fought Aldo.
Mendes?
Mendes.
Yeah, so when he fought Mendes, you're like, well, but if Mendes had like a 3-month camp, things could have been different. Yes, yeah, it could have been like slightly different, but I think just style-wise, dude, McGregor was just like that fucking good, you know, like, and, yeah, it could have been different. It could have gone to decision, but I think McGregor would have probably still win a decision. Or yeah. Maybe you would have caught him like later in the rounds, you know, in the later rounds. I just think his style is just good. Now, to be honest, like, Frank could have given a good fight. And then, you know, if less go to decision, Frank could have possibly win a decision. But that's the only, in my opinion, only tough fight that he can have a featherweight. Everybody else, I think he would beat everybody else. Yeah, but he's definitely not the goal, dude.
When he was with the WEC, Chad Mendes, I used to hate watching his fights because he was so one-dimensional. But if he fought McGregor like that, I think he'd win. I just don't think he'd do that again. I don't think he'd be like, I'm just going to take down.
Yeah, you would have to stay on top of him for like 25 minutes. But,
right.
That's pretty much the way.
And I just don't think that Chad has that in him anymore to just wrestle a guy to a win. You know, most guys that become champions don't do that kind of shit. Unless they're a champion and you're GSP and you stay there by using your wrestling. But I think aside...
Yeah, the game has changed so much, dude. Like, you know, it's not even easy to do that shit anymore, you know? It's not. It's not easy just to go there and try to like be a blanket, you know. Like it's just not, man. Like people not these days, they know how to like stand up like quicker, you know. They know how to attack from the bottom. Like it's all those things. Like it's not easy to do like that, you know, one dimensional thing anymore. And I said that like myself, you know. Like, even though I have not become like a great striker, dude, I had to figure like some things out. I had to go know how to like just like throw like two, three punches and be able to get in the fucking clinch if I want to stick to the ground. So it's not used to be just like, even if it's just wrestling, if it's just striking, or just jiu-jitsu, that thing is just like, it's over, man.
It's always evolving, Vinny.
It happens, man.
Just like our man Tony Everready.
Yeah, dude, that guy has evolved. You know, and to this day, dude, nobody can actually catch up with his style. I have not tried that yet, but I think if I'm able to do that, I'm gonna be a master.
Dan, do you know who Tony Everready is?
Literally, no idea.
You don't know about Freak?
You should just Google it.
Google Freak that bitch Tone, and we'll see.
Jesus Christ! I feel like I'm getting into dangerous waters here.
The funniest
just
thing.
Just Google it. You'll love it.
Oh, Vinny, you know, the funniest thing I ever found was when someone wrote down everything that was said. And I sent that to you?
Oh, dude, yeah, I remember that.
When they translated what had been said, I was like, holy shit.
It's a good line, man. Like, the whole thing, it's awesome. Like, you know, all the actors around him, like, you know.
Yeah, all the actors.
All those guys cheering for him, you know, like kind of motivating him to keep doing what he was doing. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, Dan, you don't know about nuts in the ass, dick in the pussy?
Nah, dude. I just fucking Googled it, though, and I'm sorry I did.
All right, Evan, you're going to have to send him out to the ninja flip.
Yeah, that's a very nice way to say it.
Fuck, man, that is horrendous.
The ninja flip
was actually pretty good, too.
That was a good one. And he had his shoes on the whole time. Yeah, you want to know what Vinny's thought process is, ladies and gentlemen? Why the fuck did you send this to me? All right, who should I send this to now?
That's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. Give me that. Where's the M1 belt, the one you put on eBay? I know it didn't sell, or someone sold it for $1 million that you knew, or whatever the hell.
I don't know. I actually have both belts. I have a Titan belt that I also attempted to sell, and I have the M1 belt too. I keep those belts, man. Like, you know, I can. Here's the thing with fighting, dude, and competing, like in general,
more than the money for me, it's like, I'm a competitor, you know, I've been doing this since I was like 13. And the only reason I stayed, like, you know, in the sport was because of results. So the whole thing for me was always like, you know, get battles, get like, you know, try to get championships, whatever, whenever I can. And, you know, money goes away, dude, but the whole, like, the medal stays, and that's not something I'm proud of. So, like, you know, even though, like, I had the whole issue with M1, like, I like the, you know, the fact that I was able to hold a belt in the promotion and all that. And I thought there's some value for me, even though it's not, like, you know, it's not a UFC belt, and, like, well, it's a fighting belt, just two belts and two titles, so I like it, you know, just like any other fight that I've won.
Yeah, but, you know, there was an amazing picture that came out of M1 that has gone viral, and you know what I'm talking about.
Which one? Dude, I don't even talk about that one.
That's the best thing in the world. Dan, do you know what picture I'm talking about?
It's Photoshop, man.
No.
It's Photoshop.
Where Vinny's in his corner, and there's a ring girl going under the ropes with her ass facing him.
Oh, really?
And he's just like...
Dude, you want to know the true story about the photo? Like, I wasn't even looking. And that, it looks like I was actually staring at it, but like I wasn't. That was just like the good time. The guy took the picture. It does look like I was like staring right at it, but I was not. In the middle of the fight, there's no way they're going to even have time to see what's going on around. Even worse. So that's the part that's like, it kind of makes sense for, you know, if you compete at anything, you know, that's like, your mind's not going to be like, you know, there's nothing else in your mind, but like whatever happens.
I just saw the picture.
That's number one. That's number one thing. Number two, dude, I was blind as fuck like back then. I just had like eye surgery actually like 3 months ago. I just had like just to correct my vision. Dude. So like at that point, I couldn't even see from that far. I'm not even lying. I'm not even kidding you. Like, so it's like there's no way that I was even trying to stare at that girl. But my wife hates that.
I bet she does. But you know what? That picture is fucking amazing. Like,
cause it is funny, dude. It is funny. So it would be even funnier if I wasn't married. But.
It looks like you're looking straight down Main Street right there, too.
Yeah, that's a pretty.
I swear I wasn't even looking. I swear, like, it was just a good like shot, like perfect time when I was ready. Like, made that turn, like. I was not staring at the girl's ass, dude. I swear to God.
I'm not going to hate on you for it. I think it's fantastic.
I'm being honest, like, you know.
All right, Vinny. Well, hey, why don't you plug whatever you want to plug, your website, Twitter, Facebook, any of that stuff, man. Now's your chance. Go do it.
All right, dude. So, yeah, anybody wants to check out, like, you know, all the stuff that I post or whatever, pictures and all that, all the bad posts too. They can check, like, you know, Facebook, just pretty much, like, type my name, which, you know, it's pretty simple, especially the last name. Twitter, Instagram, pretty much all the other handles are all, like, the same, so it's VinnyMMA, so that's simple too. That one's actually simple, it's Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y, MMA, all together. And, yeah, dude, I'm always, like, posting, like, dumb stuff, like, and sometimes I try to call people out, get fights and all that, but, I'm not as bad as I used to be, man. I think that Anthony Gross quite humbled me a little bit. Not really. But.
No, I was gonna say, who the fuck who are you talking to?
Dude, not really. You know, that it was like that's not gonna change anything. I was like, you know, if I talk shit like to this guy, I'm not gonna stop just because that thing happened. I talk to him more shit now. Like I lost, I feel like people like you know most of the time they lose. They're like, no, I'm not gonna talk shit anymore. I lost. It's embarrassing. I'm not gonna do that anymore because you know there's a lot of backlash. For me, it's the opposite. Like. I should think he sucks. I lost to the guy. People would be thinking, well, but if you think he sucks, you suck even more. I was like, not necessarily, you know, and just like check both of his resumes and then you're going to see like who really sucks. But, anyways, I'll let you guys go. Thank you guys for having me on the show again. And, I'll talk to you guys whenever you guys want to call me.
All right. Sounds great. Anytime. You're welcome here, Vinny.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get your text message.
Fuck, don't send that to me.
Yeah, I'll have to forward that to you for sure.
All right, man. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next week.